Hi, this is Sam.
Hi, this is Dan.
Hi, this is James.
James. Welcome to yet another show of this well-organized, planned-out, mapped-out professional podcast that
Welcome
we call
back to
not
the
our...
Auto Trader of Podcasts.
The Auto Trader of Podcast. Yes, sir. Free.
The busted of...
And worth it.
The busted of podcasts.
You know what they say about anything free, it's worth saving up for.
No.
No.
I like how he's just like throatedly laughing at his own silliness.
It's what I do. What Sorry, does James that... always say? If I'm not laughing, I'm crying, you know?
I think that's true with most of us.
Yeah. So anything new happened to you, Sam, this last week?
Yeah, I got to, my mortgage loan officer contacted me last month and was like, hey, there's a better rate for veterans, and I'm going to put you down for it. And I said, okay. So I refinanced, and I got a better rate, and I owe less money every month.
Nice.
Yay.
That's a
that
win.
That makes me happy.
That's usually what happens when you make payments.
Yeah.
Yeah. On-time payments is the key, and in full.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at doing that.
I've actually been told of a neat little trick for people having car payments and things like that. A neat little trick that I was told was what you can do is if your payments are later in the month, like let's say it's on the 20th, what you do is you pay $10 more than half on the 10th, and then you pay $10 more than the other half on the 20th. And basically what that does is they can't get you for the full interest of the month because you paid mid-month and then later the month, and you paid over the principal or over the due amount, so it actually goes even harder against the principal with less interest being tacked against you. It's actually kind of neat. It's a weird little trick. You can cut off, like, on a 10-year loan for a car, you could probably knock off maybe a year or two. It's not much, but you were going to pay it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Every cent helps.
And if you get more money going towards the principal instead of the interest.
Exactly, and that's the beauty part about it. You're not only paying over half by just like $10, but that over half is actually counting against the interest being able to tack you for the whole month. So I'm wondering if you could do that with a mortgage payment and get the same benefit out of it.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, just a thought.
Interesting. No, it's I like saving money, and it's worth looking into.
Right. But yeah. Yeah, so my random factoid of the day, as James is trying to punish his cat.
Sorry,
you know,
the cat is acting up.
Damn it, danger.
Now he's run off and hide.
Good boy.
Okay, guys. this has been kind of bugging me pretty much all through the weekend.
Fire on.
So I want to talk about it today. I want to talk about the fear-mongering in the media. It's out of control.
Well, yeah.
Just now?
this season's fear-mongering comes in the flavor of coronavirus.
Yep.
And
I hear it
COVID-19.
Tastes like beer.
Really watered-down beer.
So here's my problem. I get that it's a big news story.
Oh, yeah.
I get that you want to make people aware.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you have to make them afraid? And this has been going on for decades.
Well, yeah.
I know it comes down to ratings. The more fear you generate, the more people are going to want to watch your station or listen to your station or whatever.
Right.
So they can get the latest fear.
Well, and the more credible you sound, the more fear you can stoke.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with it,
though.
That's
a theory, though.
I feel like the more fear you're trying to stoke, the less you're actually doing your job and checking your facts and making sure the public has the information they need.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. coronavirus has hit in Washington State, mm-hmm. and I think like California. Five people have died.
Yeah.
Of the five, four of them were quite elderly and sick already.
Yeah. It basically is like a fast-acting cold, essentially.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, I mean, if not caught, it is fairly proficient in the respects that, as far as I understand from what I read on the CDC website, if you are at risk or in those factors that would be considered at risk, you know, younger children and older elderly folks, it can potentially kill a person within 3 days of showing symptoms. That being said, most of the people that are within that mid-range, it'll hurt and it'll put some damage on you. And honestly, this is what I was told and what I read. If you basically are going about your day, you know, la-di-doo-di-da, and you immediately get hit with weakness, like a strong case of extreme weakness, massive headache, and some other cold and flu-like symptoms, then you should go talk to a doctor. If it happens quickly, though, you need to be basically like, this can't be a slow onset of,
yeah.
Oh, fuck, I just don't feel real great, you know, and then over the next couple of days it gets worse and worse. No, corona hits like a ton of bricks.
Well, also, you should call your doctor's office and let them know it's a suspected case.
Right.
So that way they can make preparations for you to come in.
Right. And on top of that, too, it's one of those things where they were saying that I actually heard an interview from a gentleman this morning on the radio who was a comedian who was doing a cruise line bit. And like the hotel that was housing up the people for the cruise line got put under like quarantine, and there was this big, you know, news break that he came home and, you know, basically slid his way back home. He got on the radio and said, guys, I didn't sneak back into the country. I went through many, many channels, and I had the test done on me multiple times to come back negative to let me get where I am. Every part of the CDC that stopped him and checked him were like, no, no, you're good. You're free to go. And apparently this guy has been getting some serious hate mail because of how this news story broke. You know, don't hire this fucking guy. He's going to kill us all.
So here's the thing. Like, this is my first memory of this sort of fear tactic in the media, and you guys are probably too young to remember this, but when AIDS really started hitting in like the mid 80s,
right,
it was everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And it was like the amount of fact we got over compared to the amount of sensationalizing we got, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was constantly, this person has AIDS, another case of AIDS, AIDS here, AIDS here. But there was nothing about how it was contracted or where it came from or any of that stuff. That took like 3 or 4 years before it started coming out about, you know, how you can contract AIDS, you know.
And don't misunderstand, AIDS is still a nasty motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, it's still out there. It's not gone.
I will say one of the...
We just don't hear about it.
One of the factors I think that they were utilizing in the 80s was the puritanical notation.
Oh, yeah.
In the respects that, you know, for longest time, even when I was a kid, I was told that it was a gay disease. And it's like, no, it's not. it's really not.
Here's the thing. When AIDS really broke, the majority of cases that were being talked about were gay people.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Republicans ran with that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the thing. They doubled down on not only the fact that it is a very, very violent illness that to date still doesn't really have a solid lockdown cure. Heavy prevention, and we're doing better, and we're making good strides, but there is no solid cure for AIDS out there on the market yet. So it is really, really dangerous, and definitely something to keep people aware of. You know, it's like, you protect yourself, you know, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, they jumped on it because it was, oh, well, this is a gay disease, so we're totally going to make the gay people look like monsters, so everybody hates gays.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I
mean, they used it, but, so, from AIDS, we went on, and we've had, do you remember swine flu?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Zika virus.
H1N1.
Mad cow.
Yeah, we've had, and every time there's a new disease or a new illness, media goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, coronavirus has been
pretty strong.
Pretty strong lately.
Yeah, it's definitely taken strides where others had failed. I will concede that it is a potential really bad customer, but I think at this point, spreading that level of fear amidst people is really unproductive. In the respects, I mean, prevention is one thing, and being aware of it is another thing entirely, in my opinion. But just fear-mongering it to make people terrified, and especially right now, we just don't fucking need this shit. It's like, let's just double down on all the horseshit. Yeah.
In this world right now.
Without this.
We don't need... I mean, look. You look at just the environment alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on the cusp of extinction. Like...
Let's be fair. Even though I am a firm believer...
I'm not saying
believer,
it's going to happen overnight. But
yeah,
I'm saying,
even though I'm a firm believer of climate change, and I do absolutely wholeheartedly believe and trust that it is absolutely happening, I also am well aware... By the time I die, I will know really hot days, but they'll be survivable, you know, and it probably won't be for another, if I was to throw a ballpark out, I'd say 4 or 5 more generations of people before shit becomes almost quasi uninhabitable. So we got a minute, and if we move in the right directions on that, we could make that even further out. But
oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where, yeah, with climate change... And honestly, one of the theories I had about this whole virus thing was that this was a ploy tactic. So we got a virus that is bad, right? We got something that is showing itself to be deadly to normal jackoffs. For me, it seems like the news media is basically finding this as an excuse to draw attention away from current events. Best way I can put it.
Well,
I'd put an orange name on it.
Big
but...
Jim joined. How you doing, man?
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, Jim.
Oh, finally, things are going to get brighter around
no,
here.
No, shit. We'll actually get some decent conversation here.
Well.
Okay, so the thing is with the virus, it is real and it is serious.
Mm-hmm.
It has... I was watching Sunday's episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver... And, you know, it's 80% of people that have been infected have survived it.
Right.
80%. But its kill rate, they're thinking, could be around 2%, which is 20 times higher than the flu, even at its height.
Right.
Even at its highest of killing people. So it is something that is serious, and it is something to be taken seriously. I do agree that, yes, there's a lot of fear-mongering, but you have to, like, as the American people, or as people in general, we have to find other avenues of information, which the CDC website is going to be one of the main places to go, because we can't trust the fear mongering. We can't trust our government officials. And it's not just us that can't trust our officials.
Right.
It's a lot of places. I mean, China kept this hidden for a long time before they had to tell people.
Yeah.
So, and our administration is so fucked that there's no way I'm trusting anything. Like, and Pence has a terrible record for dealing with HIV and dealing with pandemics. It was an epidemic, but this is a pandemic.
Pence is just going to turn it into another gay disease. So
he'll turn it into a holy roller crusade at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, just wash your hands 20 seconds, sing happy birthday twice in your head. That's the length you should be washing your hands with soap and warm water.
And try to avoid touching your face, if you can.
Yes. I'm terrible at that.
When I'm in a
public bathroom, and I've used the facilities, I go to wash my hands. I do that thing that Samantha just said, which is you do the happy birthday song twice. But how I do it different is I maintain uninterrupted eye contact with the person who's urinating currently. I'll pause for a moment at like the happy birthday to see if they say their name. and that's when, for no reason whatsoever, I'll be like, everything's about you, Todd, or whatever the fuck their name is, and then I just storm out.
Well played.
That is why I can't go back to,
Red Robin.
Most airports. So.
I will say, having worked with Jim, anytime he came into the bathroom, we'd all leave as quickly as possible.
That's fair.
Just because of that.
Well, first of all, given my druthers, I would use the crippled stall, which was by far
roomier.
Like a luxury.
Dude,
palace.
That's the Cadillac of the pooping stools.
It is. And there was no one who was disabled that worked at the radio station that I knew of. I don't think. No, there was.
Oh, there was.
They knew
your name.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a lot of, like, mental defectives. There was a lot of...
But nothing physical.
No.
Yeah, they still know how their plumbing works. They still can aim, the little shooter at the big watery spot and, not make a mess. And, yes, I will agree that my diet was not stellar when I worked at the radio. Whose was okay, Court and Fat Boy, but they, like, you can't base anything on that. They rode their bikes like they were fucking Amish everywhere. God damn it.
It is Portland.
Right.
So I ate meat and processed cheese and stuff that could have been meat. I'm not quite sure. I didn't care. I was not a food bigot. I was equal opportunity. The process is there for a reason, people. Think about that.
It's to get the coronavirus out of your food.
Well, clearly, I mean,
If I could throw my two cents in on that whole thing, I'm agreeing with Danny. It is kind of like a look over here, sort of a tactic. It very, very obviously so. And it's like the shitty distraction that this administration could come up with. Just like, we need a name for a disease. And just, I can imagine one guy sitting around a table with a corona in his hand, like, coronavirus. Done. Okay. And that's it. Like, you're not even trying to, like, we had monkeypox. We had swine flu. These things sounded like scary. Coronavirus sounds like
a good time on the beach.
It sounds like a party, yeah.
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 I throw a little Lyme disease in there and you're solid,
Sales of Corona beer have dropped by like 40%.
And that was something else
wrong
that
with people.
Dude, that pissed me off because apparently, and this was something I heard from Travis, a poll was taken and 38% of people refused to buy Corona beer because they were worried they would contract the virus.
How dumb can you be?
Apparently 38% dumb.
Have you heard some of these hacks to cure it? Gargle bleach.
Oh, yeah, no, that'll do it. That'll do it.
You're telling people to gargle bleach. What is the
That's the cure for life,
people?
I've been told. Guaranteed cure for life.
For best reaction, for best results, I highly recommend Darwin brand bleach for gargle.
Yeah. And if you give yourself an enema with that Darwin brand bleach, you'll be in great shape. Mm. Oh, dude, solid. You ain't got no worries.
No, I fully... Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, you could be in the calendar.
Right? I'm just saying, Poster boy time.
I fully endorse anyone who wants to try the bleach treatment. Please.
By all means. Do it.
I'm separating myself from that statement. Do not gargle bleach.
The coronavirus is getting scads of attention, and what really isn't getting nearly as much is all the voter suppression.
Yeah,
that's been going around, and I've been waiting for that because it's like this guy just lied, cheated, and stole his way out of an impeachment hearing. You honestly think I trust the electoral, the thing that he rigged in the first fucking place to get the job? You think I'm going to trust that a second time?
Yeah.
Well, and I just saw an article that came out that said the DNC was fully in the right to essentially take Bernie out of the running. So apparently the DNC doesn't care who the people want. Obviously the Republicans don't care either, but...
Again.
It's...
I knew it was going
to
happen.
Our political system is so broken that really the only way to fix it is to burn it.
Yeah. Burn it down and rebuild from the ashes.
I would like to take the Sulaco option and nuke it from orbit because really it's the only way.
I thought that was a big Jim Willig way.
No, he takes it from the Sulaco.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But what do we call it? Big Willig style?
Big Willig style.
That's only when you're in Miami, though.
Getting nuky with it.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. The transcript of today's podcast is going to end up on some fucking...
That just means more people are listening, buddy. That's just a win.
Be like, great, so this James Willig guy in Lancaster, PA, he's talking about some big Willie style, big Willig style, and he's gonna nuke the police from orbit. I think we should, you know...
Keep an eye on him.
See, here's the thing, Jim. They didn't know you were in Lancaster until you said it.
Right? You were completely anonymous up until this point, and yeah, just oust yourself there, buddy.
First of all, due to my, I would say, you know, respectfully diverse selections on such websites as, you know, Pornhub, my...
such as, no, that'd be the only one. Yeah. Search in the dark web for more porn there, buddy.
My cyber footprint is distinct, we'll say.
Deep?
No, I wouldn't say D. I'd say average. I'd say satisfyingly distinct.
At this point, let's just throw out all the trigger words, buddy.
I will say that I did hear Samantha chuckle before anybody else did. So, yeah, there it is. That's, No, she told you it was. She told you that.
Now, honestly, this podcast has probably been on several watch lists since the beginning.
Oh yeah.
So
another podcast, huge at Quantico.
But then they keep listening to our episodes, and they're like, never mind. What the fuck ever.
These guys are too smart and too stupid, all at the same time.
Hey, Bryce, your idiot friends are on the radio again.
Huh? I don't care.
Bryce, we miss you.
Yeah. Jerk.
So, Jim, what's been happening in your world this week?
Oh, man. Like, so much.
Hey, have you guys done the Rescue Comedy Show?
Not yet. No, that's coming up in April.
Well, fucking promote that shit.
Serious, dude. Shameless plug, bro.
My hands are a little, I wouldn't say tied. I don't quite have hands yet in the sense that... So, the show is there to benefit a local... rescue shelter or animal shelter of some sort. And I've been calling and emailing the local shelters in my area, and one got back to me, and it was a woman that I swear to God sounded so old, and she's like, I remember when they built Downton Abbey, and I was like, that used to be a whorehouse or whatever. Like, this lady sounded fucking old. And so I'm not ruining anything because she's like, I had to take this to my council or whatever of lizard people that live underneath, you know, the surface.
Don't oust the lizard people, dude.
I'm not ousting. I'm just merely, you know, pointing them out, removing a rock to let some sunlight in.
Uh-huh.
Come on, lizard people have a right to live just like anyone else.
Listen, I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know, my friend Chris and I, we're doing the show. We want to bring in a local animal shelter. And it's like basically free money to you. All you have to do is help us spread the word. That's all you have to do. And you get money from every ticket that, you know, is sold. And I try to make that as clear as possible, as professional as possible. When I sent her like the press email or whatever, I kind of just slapped together. I've never done anything like this before. So I don't know what like is too much or just too little.
Not enough.
Like what?
Clearly wasn't enough.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know what local racial slurs are popular where she's at. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Use them all, dude.
So
use them all.
I just, better to have and not need, as my pappy used to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to offend someone, offend them on as many levels as you possibly can.
Yeah, you might as well just fire all shots, you know. You might. There's just no point. Don't hold back. Because then whoever you hold back on, they're going to feel excluded. And you want this to be a community effort, you know, torches and pitchforks towards you. You don't want that guy in the back going, well, he wasn't that bad.
When you hold back, you're only hurting yourself.
Right? You're sacrificing your art for the softness of others. That's not acceptable.
sorry, I got temporarily distracted.
I just thought it was great. It was a nice little awkward pause, and then the chuckle.
Yeah.
It's almost like you didn't get the joke.
But then it just kind of hit.
And then it clicked.
And it was, that was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, that was comedic.
sure, that was all right. Whatever.
Comedic adjacent.
That's the name of the episode right there.
Yeah.
I'm on the board.
Was it funny? No. No, it was comedically adjacent.
That's okay. That's okay. That's kind of how I live my life at this point.
Well, long story short, the lady, like, I was waiting forever for her to get back to me. So I sent her, like, a follow-up email. I'm like, hey, I just want to touch base with you and see if you and your counsel had spoken, if you might be interested. And she replied back in a couple of minutes and just said, yeah, we talked about it and, you know, we're going to decline. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But like not 20 minutes later, my phone rings, and it's a number that I don't recognize, but it's a local number. And I've been getting hit with a lot of robocalls as of late. And so I answer the phone, but I have a technique where I answer the phone, but I don't say anything right away. I wait to hear if like there's going to be like a click, and then you hear like a boiler room kind of situation in the background where there's a lot of people. You can tell when you're being sucked into a sales call or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So I answer the phone. I'm waiting, and I don't hear anything. So I'm like, hello? And she's just like, oh, yeah, hi, John? Yeah, I got your message. I'm like, yeah, not John. Not interested. And I hang up. And so I wait a second, and like somebody tells me, like, you know, just take that number and Google it and just sort of see where that number came from. So I do, and it turns out it was from one of the fucking animal shelters that I had sent calls and emails to.
Swinging a mess.
And essentially just told, like, yeah, fuck off. So, wait, it gets worse, of course, because it's kind of worse. So I call her back, and she's like, hello. And I said, yeah, I'm the asshole that you just called. I apologize. I've been getting hit with a lot of robocalls as of late. And I didn't recognize the number. And she's like, yeah, I called you by a different name, too. That must have thrown you a little bit. But I could sort of like hear or kind of taste in the back of my ear a little bit that she was saying, you know, like, yeah, that was kind of a dick move, though. Like, just like shut her down, like, right before. Because I've been battle torn by like sales calls and you know, all kinds of other shit that I've been every time you put your info out there on the web, a whole group of other harpies is now going to be calling me. So, but I explained to her the whole situation, and she sounds like she might be interested, and she was going to be going into a meeting later, and she wanted to get as much information as she could, and so I told her everything that I could. And towards the end, she's just like, you know, your name sounds familiar. And I said, yeah. And she said, my daughter used to do shows here in town, and she remembers doing a show at the Dutch Apple Dinner Theater. I'm like, oh, that was with my that would be with my dad. So she remembered who my father was, and that sort of endeared me a little bit. But yeah, I kind of just, there's nothing worse than knowing that that was my first impression, you know.
Uh-huh.
It kind of endeared you, but not enough to take the bitter taste out of her mouth of you going, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. Not fucking interested.
It's a fine line between endear and sort of smearing myself, you know, in a way. It's a, you know, you're just sort of like, yeah, I remember him. It's kind of hard to forget. He left a stain.
The bathroom has yet to recover.
He walked up to my house and just poured wine on my carpet and left. Like, that was his first impression. So, but I tend to establish relationships, like long-standing friendships with people where, like, the first impression, like, couldn't have gone any worse. You know? Or it's just, like, I walked in during their bris and, like, I popped a bag or whatever. And, like, you know. feelings, just weird shit like that. Like, I'll you know, be like, you know, that was a horrible first impression, but now, like, we're good friends and whatnot. We do highlight together. But we could. You don't know my life.
You don't fucking know me.
Yeah, you don't know how big High Lie is in Pennsylvania. Fucks.
Oh man.
But so yeah, I can't really promote the show because I don't have a
show to promote.
A shelter to sort of like be like, yeah, it'll be going to these people. And I got people in Portland that are just like, you know, we can't be there obviously, but we like to donate to the shelter. And it's like, I was even joking with the woman about how funny it is, how I'm essentially trying to give away free money to someone, and I'm having to work at it. Like, you would assume they'd be like, yeah, sure, yeah, no problem, yeah. You do, like, what, a lot of Hitler jokes? Fine, whatever, just bring the money in, buy food, and keep the water running, you know?
Look, just don't wear your Nazi uniform when you bring the money in.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay.
You know, don't rock your SS Gestapo outfit that day. I'm just saying, you know.
Look, I know you think it's funny when you put those little mustaches on the Dalmatians and you don't think anyone's going to notice, but notice.
They notice.
Stop teaching the German shepherds to march. It just doesn't.
To the song Be Prepared.
We all know shepherds are an obedient breed. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and put that out there. So yeah, so once I have an official shelter to be able to partner with, then I'm going to give it a really good solid push. I know Chris has got some friends in the area that said that they're going to come out. I got some friends. I got one of my oldest, like my first best friend that I ever had, like, you know, we met, like, I was walking down the street. He had just moved in across the street from where my dad was living. And it was like how you were, I was so old, like, you met people by saying stuff like, hey, do you want to play with my Legos? Yeah, do you want to go play with my trains? And, like, after that, we're just, like, instantly best friends forever.
I know how it goes. I know how it rolls. Yeah.
Is that code?
Yes.
What? Trains and Legos?
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where I know exactly what you're talking about, because that was pretty much my buddy Drew and I, you know, fucking kindergarten. He was like, hey, you want to play in the mouse house? It's like, yeah, yeah. Totally. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, lifelong friendship.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, like James and hentai porn. Like, it just clicked.
I think James predates hentai, but you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Well, we predated and realized it wasn't going to work out, so.
Damn it. So you just got down to the dirty.
So, yeah, I just support somewhere there was a poor James before hentai.
Right.
If there was cartoon pornography.
Jim, I do want to thank you for probably the most awkward conversation I've had in a while.
You're welcome.
I had someone who clearly listens to the podcast. I didn't know they listened and had to ask me what is a moist hug?
Something that you don't want to hang around to.
You don't have a choice, Danny. You don't have a fucking choice. That hug is happening.
It just happens.
Oh, yeah. No, it yeah. Yeah.
Well said. Very well said.
You know, I have very good diction when I really put my mind to it.
No, I thought you were just going to stop at dick. So.
Well, not wrong.
Here's the thing. Ain't no problem out there Danny can't lick once he gets his hog out the pen. Y'all understand?
Yep, yep.
I also had to explain to my wife what bookmarking was.
Oh.
Like, is trademark. It a euphemism or, like, it's a function on, like, Windows?
No, the euphemism.
Euphemism, yeah.
My first reaction was, you really need to listen to our show.
It will simplify things.
It's much harder to explain these things after the fact.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if I was confronted with that situation, since my wife knows of many of our euphemisms in general, I'd be like, bookmarking is the gym equivalent to how he treats meat.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly.
I can put you guys on hold for just a second. Hold on.
Dirty fucker.
Should we actually just be nice if he put some music on or something?
No shit, something.
Apparently, our call is not as important to him as...
Obviously not.
The recorded message would have us believe.
Well, I mean, Bryce isn't here, so, I mean, obviously. What the fuck? Putting
and
on
here's
hold.
And Shira to lay in my lap, because we can't have a show without her.
Oh, and then she'll get comfy and start snoring, and that'll be about the time that
we'll
wrap up.
Then we'll blame Jim.
Yeah, we'll blame Jim. I'm okay with this. I like this battle plan.
Oh, poor Austin. He's never going to live that down.
Nope.
Even though he did nothing wrong.
Which is beautiful because, honestly, I think it'll counterbalance, you know, what David's been talking about, you know.
Oh, yeah, because all David's got to do is, well, at least I don't snore on podcast interviews.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, it wasn't me. They're going to drive him to, like, quit.
Right. This is bullshit. You guys, it was snark.
Didn't fall asleep.
Sorry about that.
You fucking should be. How dare you?
Here's the thing. Like, I missed the beginning of the show because I came home from a meeting and used the toilet, flushed it, and it was on the second floor. And by the time I got down to the first floor, I could hear water coming through from where the toilet was.
You blew it up, did you?
So just with pee, like, you know.
Shameful, bro.
Notice he said he didn't say that he washed his hands.
Clearly not.
He just flushed and ran downstairs.
Yep.
I licked them clean. My mouth is cleaner. Busters confirm this shit, so fuck you and fuck you. Samantha, you're cool.
Awesome.
Clearly.
But yeah, so I lick my hands clean because I'm multitasking. I'm like, shit, there's like a waterfall now in my, you know, foyer. So I ran back upstairs. I had to cut the water.
It's like I cut the power and the toilet still
just nothing fucking happened. Took me forever to figure out how to get back on.
If we can't fucking see the problem, there's no fucking problem.
That was really hard. Once the power was cut, I couldn't make my way back to the bathroom because I couldn't see.
Couldn't see anything. It's fucking dark.
I'm trying to not make my house moist again. So that's... So, essentially...
Make America moist again.
Water stuff inside. As a way
whoever to, runs on that campaign, I'm voting for.
Mama?
Make America moist again.
You understand the dryness of corruption.
Just
corrupt.
A sea of blue mama hats, as far as the eye can see.
And then it'll be the purple helmets for the slack lumber. Make America
Make
hard
America
again.
Hard again.
Make America hard again. Yeah.
I think mine will be bathing caps. Because that produces a form of moisture underneath the little plastic there.
Yep. Little head condom. There you go.
And it'll be like a visual cue because I'll be like, you know, we're going to shower off the grime of corruption, you know, and moisten ourselves with liberty and, you know.
Soapy lather.
I really want to make mama stickers.
Mama sticker, make America moist again.
But not say what it is and just see how many I can get.
How many people take it over?
Aren't you back in mama? You should be back in mama. What do you got against mama? You hate mama, don't you?
Why do you hate mama?
Why do you always
hate mama?
Hate mama?
You never liked mama, didn't you?
Mama didn't like
Mama's
you neither.
Bitch, okay?
Okay. Here comes the right wing. Trying to stamp out mama. Well, you know what? This here mama's been working hard and she's tired. She's really tired, but you know what? She's got work to do. She, you know, she's going to get up. She's going to put ice on her bunions, and she's going to squeeze herself into that latex suit, and she's going to please those Japanese businessmen just like she did yesterday and just like she will tomorrow, because that's the American way, goddammit. Pleasure, Japanese businessmen.
Wait, why is Mama wearing a latex jumpsuit?
You don't. That's questions you don't want the answer to. Okay, that's questions that are being asked. You know,
more late night porn hubbing for you there, Big Jim.
Oh no, this is just all part of my fanfic. I mean, really, I'm just. I'm literally reading excerpts from like stuff I've submitted. You know.
Speaking of fanfic, last week, Jim, I don't know if you heard, but we were discussing ideas for the Menstrata graphic novel. And we wanted to know, did we come up with a costume for Jim?
I think we came up with something ridiculous. That was just almost a little too much.
Wasn't it like booty shorts and a waistcoat and a tie?
Something like that, yeah.
Not saying no.
Good man. Good man.
Wasn't he just like dripping with dried meat juice?
No, that was Dan.
No, yeah, that's okay. That's me.
How could it be dry juice, Menstrata? Huh?
Oh, we are keeping America moist, so.
Yeah, you know.
Moist juice.
For more of that dry talk in here.
Oh, no, he was, instead of being a hot mess, he was a hot mass. There it is.
Hot mass, that's it.
That's right. We bedazzled his chest with hot
yes.
Mass.
Yes, hot that's mass. It. Hot mass.
Beautiful. I have to say though, speaking of nightmare fuel, I would just say I watched this movie that was suggested to me by Mr. Don Frost, and it's on Amazon Prime right now. It's called Oat Studios, I think, and it's like Volume 1. And if you saw that that Netflix thing where it was like the love robots sex or whatever it was, where it's like a bunch of short videos strung together. Did anybody see that? No.
Just no. Nope. Yeah, it was just you.
Well, this is a series of short clips, kind of all put together, also from like projects that it's the guy that did District 9 and some other really good sci-fi horror shit. And I have to tell you, some of the shit in this is out of this fucking world. The monster at the very end, I was like, this is the shit. I didn't think anything could shock me or scare me. This fucking thing was off the goddamn charts. I don't want to ruin it. If fucking horror is your shit, then I say get on this. So as a possible monster for Menstrata to fight or befriend, I don't know how she operates, which side of the realm she's stirring her cauldron, so to speak.
Well, I'm wondering if this is the same thing, because I just found it on YouTube. It's Oats Studios on YouTube, and they got a shit ton of, it looks like, shorts.
Zygote, yeah, Firebase,
right,
Raka.
Now we're watching Raka. Oh, that's disturbing
movie,
right
the
there.
One that Zygote is the name of the short. It's last one.
Zygote is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on YouTube.
The monster, I mean, you know, are you going to look at it now?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
You said the monster's at the end. We're not going to watch the whole 22 minutes.
Because, yeah, we're lazy. And we need instant gratification here, guys.
Oh, wait. So,
is that Dakota Fanning?
Yeah, that's Dakota Fanning. Limping her way away from something.
A meat pile.
Fresh from Dancing Dan's Meats and Tans.
Freshly seasoned by Big Jim. The hot mass.
I self-moisturize.
Yeah, I self-moisturize myself.
We're talking about this, and all I can think of is Samantha's quote from a few weeks ago. How can I be wet and dry at the same time?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that one.
Oh, we're seeing a creature.
Oh. Come on, give me full frontal creatures.
It looks like it's got two heads. It's part Cthulhu.
Definitely looks like a turductopus had a bastard child with a snail creature.
It's like somebody wove parts together. So, like, the legs are just, like, woven from all the corpses that have been killed.
So it's kind of like the thing, But
yeah, so
that's a whole mess of arms on that thing.
That's nice.
Yeah, and each hand moves independently, and the eye or the head looks like this just giant meat torpedo, and it's holding this sphere of just eyeballs that are all different colors from different fucking people. It's fucking, oh my god. And the way it moves, it's chilling.
Well, I'm going to have to actually make the effort to watch this from the beginning. The creature is definitely something I appreciate, just out
good
of sheer
for
principle.
You. Go get the axe.
There you go. Double
don't,
tap.
Don't trust your bullets.
Double tap. Don't be stingy.
Oh, she's out of ammo at that point, so.
There you go.
Spoiler.
There you go. There you go.
Just going for the hands? Get the head. Why does
hand
no
jobs.
One ever go for the head?
This went from too easy, buddy.
Oh, wait. She went for a specific hand.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
This is a first viewing commentary right here.
Samantha and I are just going to hang up. You guys enjoy your time.
Oh, thank you. You know.
Oh, I see.
Yep. I see how it is.
I see what she's doing now.
But, yeah, no, that's awesome, actually. And, you know, Jim, there are a bunch of short horror movies on YouTube. Trying to remember the name of one of the channels that does a lot of them.
Yeah, that's your price of admission right there.
Oh, yeah. That's nightmare fuel. 100%.
Yeah, that's the sound of James finishing right there.
Yep.
If you were curious what it sounded like.
All you got is.
But so, okay.
I am fascinated by this movie now.
Well, shut it off so you can watch it later, dickface.
Yeah.
What? It's over. She's going to leave
the
hand there.
Oh, my God.
What do James and...
later, Danny's that hand gives her an enthusiastic.
Do what now?
I was asking what the costumes look like for James and Danny in the Menstrata comic.
Well, James is just kind of your typical wasteland survivor.
And I got, like, the assless chaps with, like, the giant leather butcher apron on that's kind of just barely hanging on but is soaked completely through with blood, with, like, a tank top and welding goggles is what
I think
kind of imagine.
I think you need, like, a mustache that's, like, you know, curled up at the ends, but it's like rust-colored because you keep curling it with your bloody hands.
Yeah, I get into that. But yeah, and I just walk around with a belt full of, you know, butcher tools, because tools of the trade, what you gonna do?
And an arm, for some reason.
I don't know if I would carry the arm. That would seem silly. But a good
you
pair of tongs...
You couldn't get the ring off the finger.
A good pair of tongs would be worth its weight in gold, you know?
Well, I was just gonna say, do you know what they call chaps that aren't assless?
Pants?
Pants, yeah. So, yeah, you don't have to say assless chaps, you just say chaps.
Yeah, I know, but I'm clearly not going to be wearing anything
back there
at all.
Or did you actually cut your cheeks off so that you actually have assless?
Ooh,
cheeks?
That would be funny.
No, Menstrata cut those off as punishment.
Because my ass was just too sweet and she couldn't handle it.
He learned his lesson early on.
Mm-hmm.
I like this because then she took his cheeks and she used them as shoulder pads in like an 80s like... Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead kind of fashion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make fashion where you can.
Yeah.
No, the one thing I do remember is both Bryce and I wander the wasteland looking for survivors that we bring back to Menstrata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for rescue and for medical assistance and food and shelter?
Yeah, and then we kill them.
Well, for food.
Oh, good. What are we having? Funny you should ask.
I mean, if they're super useful people... Then we should.
Well, that was. Well, they get repurposed, but if they're
no, that was the thing. It was. Yeah. It was. Their first stop in our new town is they have to go through gym for audition purposes.
Yes.
Oh yes.
And if they make the cut, then they live. They get a job and they do it. If not, they go meet Dan.
Yeah. To help me out in the butcher shop.
Excuse me, Mr. Big Chim. Yeah, I got my reassignment.
Yeah.
And it's just a picture of a sandwich. Yep, your sandwich. Get the fuck out of my way. Go see Dan, you fuck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, take this jar of horseradish. He'll know what it's called.
Doing roast beef sandwiches.
I didn't know that horseradish came in a silicone option. That's interesting and gross.
Sexy.
Yeah, I think the original idea was Bryce and I show up like every couple of months with a new haul.
Yeah. And they go through the process, and then everyone eats well.
Well, because you guys have to go further and further out every time because they're less and less people.
Yeah,
they figured it out.
You should also be putting up things like signs or, you know, safety
free candy
ahead.
Inside.
They just put free candy signs 300 kilometers.
Free Wi-Fi, you know, this way.
Are you seriously that concerned about the fucking infrastructure over Menstrata's empire?
Just saying, bro.
are there going to be debates on the local news about Menstrata care? And how some people are for it and some people are against it?
Well, her arch nemesis might.
Yeah, I might.
Barack Obama?
We never did come up with a... I don't remember.
We've had a couple of ideas about an arch nemesis, but nothing ever really stuck. That was funny.
No, the only one that stuck. I haven't listened to the past episodes yet to remember the name, but we did come up with something.
Yeah.
But we did come up with why she's called Menstrata, because it really doesn't have much to do with periods. It's just, you know, like she was kind of
hilarious.
A berserker warrior and then would stomp on her enemies at the end, and then she just has blood all over her.
No.
It was from the waist down.
No, we did come up with a reason why she was called Menstrata.
That
because
was
she,
it!
Yes, but she gained strength during that time of the month.
Oh, yeah.
Her strength ebbs and flows.
Why do I feel like that moment from Samantha was like, ah, damn it?
No, like, I'm all
almost
for,
had a genuine
like,
badass.
My goal with this whole thing is normalizing the female period. So it's not like, but, yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I think by giving you Hulk-like strength when you're at your most heavy flow... Totally normalized.
To be a woman's weakest time.
3 to 7 days out of the month.
I feel like it would be best utilized if, with like the random, I'd say side effects of a menstrual cycle, like each you know time you were empowered, there'd be a difference. Like there'd be a different power that you might have. Like maybe, you know, your hunting skills. You can smell, you know, your prey a lot easier. Or, I don't know, you can gain in size and mass or something. I don't know.
That's called retaining water, Jim.
It's floating up, but it's like muscle and stuff. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And she can infect others with cramps.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the idea of making Menstrata superhuman.
No, she was always superhuman, because I think the origin story we came up with was she was an experiment, like a government experiment, and she, like, broke free and just totally eliminated, like, all these people who were holding her. And
no, I remember the original concept was just making fun of Sam's flow. original content. That's that OG content.
And that was the last anyone ever heard or saw from Danny.
I'll go back and show you the episode. It was a good time. Bookmarked the hell out of it.
I thought that it was based on R.L. Stein's rendition of Are You There, Menstrata? It's Me, God.
R.L. Stein, that's, you know, really deep on that one.
That's the Christmas episode, Jim.
Is that the select your ending one?
He had his finger on the tween pulse for a while, and he knew what the kids needed to read, and, you know.
Obviously, you know.
Is that like a choose your own menstruation?
Yeah. Choose your own ending, you know. Those did not bring home chocolate. Well, you died. shit, go back. What was the other option? Didn't bring home flowers either. Oh, fuck, I died.
We should really come up with a not another podcast, choose your own adventure, but all the endings are the same.
Just you die.
No matter what you choose, it ends in horrible, horrible death.
Yeah, and just gets a little bit more elaborate the further into the book you go. You know, it's like the first couple options, you die. You know, nothing special, nothing big. You clearly chose wrong. You just die. But if you make it to, like, through the story and you get to those couple other extra choices that'll advance the story a little further, and then you get the horrendous long explanation of death.
Yeah, just each death is just more gruesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But no matter what.
It just scales up in volume.
No matter what, you always die.
Yep, yep. We're going to call this Dark Souls the book?
Horribly diseased.
Self-chemical castration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fun stuff like that.
Wow.
That one's going on our Facebook as a quote.
Wow.
No, self-chemical castration, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. That's
but
a good
you got to you gotta finish it with Danny's wow.
Wow.
No one knows how to bring a show to a grinding halt like Big Jim. You're welcome. That's right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your talents.
It's mysterious where these powers come from. I use them not for good or for evil, just, you know, whatever the fuck I want.
Well, with that, we're going to close the show. First, we want to remind you, we have a Patreon.
Yeah.
That's right.
So go to Patreon, type in Not Another Patreon, and we have three tiers that you can subscribe to. Please do so. Help us out. Help offset the cost of running this shit show.
Because apparently, you know, you enjoy that.
Because I'm tired of being broke. And next week we'll have a lot more fun.
Hopefully.
Maybe, probably.
Fuck, I don't know.
Depends on how the week goes, because
we're just going to flip a coin on this bitch and just let it ride.
We're choosing our
own
adventures, and we could die horribly.
We usually do.
Or get self-chemical castration.
Yeah, clearly. It's all that life is all about.
People, for some people, the Oregon Trail is just a game. For others, it's a lifestyle. And dysentery, you know, is very real.
You broke your leg and died, you know. Yeah, yeah.
It's always
lesson learned.
Well, the show drowned.
Yeah.
How is that different from every other week?
No.
We start off with good intentions and piss and vinegar, and by the end we're just, ugh.
Ugh.
We really are, especially this show. We came on strong, and by the end we're just meh.
Meh.
I feel like that's happened the last couple weeks, though. Like, for some reason, our steam just hasn't... I don't know if, like, we're all just super depressed because the news is so shitty, or...
More than likely.
Like, honestly, I'm like...
No,
let's reinvigorate some things.
You are 100% correct, because honestly, the last few weeks we've come on is like, yeah, this and this. Fuck.
I think it's that moment of realization that we just don't have any actual control over this shit, and we're like, God damn it.
Well, and I think we do better when there's some light structure.
What? Structure?
When we have a topic we know we're going to talk about. Because then it's a lot easier because we don't talk over each other as much.
That's fair.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, if in all fairness, every time I show up on this show, I only ever want to talk about, you know, bookmarking things in general. That's kind of my shtick.
Okay, you know what? Next show, for every time you say bookmark, you're going to get a penalty.
A penalty?
Is bookmarking like fucking books? Like, I don't get it.
For you, Jim? Yes.
Okay. I mean, make that paperback wet.
Make it moist, buddy. Make Thank that paperback right. wet.
Great. He's gone from meat to books.
Well, you know, you got to evolve.
Books have less give, and there's a good chance he's going to get paper cuts.
Possibly.
So fucking sorry some of us are trying to grow as a person.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Why are you so anti-Jim evolution here?
I just want him to videotape his emergency room visit when he's got to explain why there are like 10,000 paper cuts on his dick.
He'll just explain it that he got into a thing with Webster and it did not end well.
Look, I was in the library, naked, like you do, right?
Clearly.
And I had some late returns, if you know what I mean. And
one thing kind of led to another. I tripped and I fell and I ended up fucking these magazines. I didn't realize the quality of these papers. So now, can you reattach it?
He'll have fucked a thesaurus, so he'll be able to explain in very eloquent words what happened.
Perplexed, wow. I was that my tallywacker had met such a
chafable moment.
Inopportune demise.
That's Big Jim's superpower. He fucks books and retains all information within.
No, I can paint actual pictures like with words, but they're all just like horrible and disgusting and, you know, nothing that anyone would want to see or be useful for anything.
You just need to be a synesthesia.
I got it. So Jim fucks a book.
Yeah.
And then
so far.
And then when he comes he needs to do it on a canvas and it's like a painting of what the book is about.
That's quite a load there, bud.
And I can interpret it like tea leaves, maybe?
Yeah.
He goes on Bob Ross with
there are you will not bespeak the bad good name for Bob Ross. Gonna make a happy little Swiss Family Robinson.
Well, I seem to be running out of white. That seems strange. Go over here to Mr. Broom Closet and he'll chew me up fresh white paint.
Maybe I shouldn't have done the Balto books early.
We're going to run some commercials for Sears Bra Department. And I'm just
today
gonna...
we'll be painting Call of the Wild.
I'm a little afraid of next week's. We're doing Hatchet.
Today we will be reading and painting Call of the Cthulhu.
Should be moist. Wow.
In our ongoing series of paintings from H.P. Lovecraft, I'm going to apologize for today's episode because I just fucked an H.R. Giger book.
What else are you going to do with it?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
That's par for the course.
Clearly. I mean, you know, it's not a coffee table book. It's a safe room. Or a room that requires a safe word. I mean, however you want to...
French toast! French toast!
I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life.
Well, Danny has used the safe word, so...
We gotta end it there.
We will bid you all good night. Bye!
Bye!
Bye! Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.